tonight's talk, I think, is going to be on impermanence. Because usually, from the Thai forest tradition, they generally were encouraged not to do too much planning for the talk ahead of time. Not because we're so lazy that we don't want to do any work, or certainly not because we're very busy and we have other things to do. But no, I think the teaching is kind of, trust in the present moment. Planning the talk is in the future. We don't know what's going to happen. Many things come up, especially during the day, especially today. And everything seems to be talking about around the theme of impermanence. We don't know what's going to happen next. Initially, Sister Wanyama was going to do the talk. And then she wasn't. And I thought, well, maybe Ajahn Nisarna was going to do the talk. And he wasn't doing that either. So, it's hard to plan these things sometimes. But as a monk, we're encouraged just to kind of go with the flow. Take whatever comes up and not be worrying, not worried about it too much. Kind of relax and ease ourselves into the situation. And see what happens. But the other thing was, in terms of impermanence, other than, the merry-go-round of talks, was this afternoon we heard news that Shirley Jackson also passed away. And that's also very suddenly. Apparently from what Cherry, her daughter, said, that one minute she was preparing lunch for her husband, feeling a headache and then vomiting, and then, they call an ambulance. And apparently she had a brain hemorrhage. She passed away, I think, late last night. It just kind of smacks you in the face. Things are very, very not sure. You never know what's going to happen next. So a lot of times it's a waste of time to plan too far ahead. Just to be really in the present moment. But the only way we can stay in the present moment, is to have this faith, this trust. Everything is going to be all right. I know some monks have given talks to me before, and they says, everything is going to be all right. It's the biggest superstition that you can have. And I'm going to have a spin on that. Everything will be okay as long as you have the trust and the mindfulness to be aware of what's happening. Even with you're facing, sickness, horrible pain, but you have the consciousness, as long as you're aware, then you can also incline your mind towards positive mind states. Incline your mind towards peace. Incline your mind towards letting go. As long as we're aware. But a lot of times, for most of us, it's we're caught up. We're not aware of what's happening because we're caught up in sense pleasure of getting the next best thing. Planning, obsessing about the next holiday or maybe the next iPhone, whatever's coming out. We're looking to turn on the television or you read the newspaper. It's always the next best thing. Everybody's waiting for it. Or our whole life hinges on the next best thing. The next boyfriend you're going to get. The next girlfriend. The next job. The next promotion. The next new car. It's always the next best thing. That's where happiness lies. Out there in the next best thing. Something you can buy. Preferably very expensive. And that's where real happiness is. But in Dhamma, we turn it around. We say, no, it's not the next best thing. It's whatever's happening right now. Here is where all the happiness you can find. In the present moment, right inside this heart, this mind and body. This is where happiness is. Right here. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to be anything else. The mind that you have and the body that you have is good enough to find peace, to find fulfillment right here and now. And as monks and nuns living the simple lifestyle, we'll provide an example for people to say, yes, you don't need, a three-story house to be happy. You don't need a partner to be happy. You don't need, a healthy body to be happy. You don't need to be young and energetic to be happy. All you need to do is to kind of train the mind, have faith and trust to be in the present moment, to incline towards kindness, incline towards peace. And that's where happiness will come from. The story I have about, but it's like anything, it's a gradual path. You can't expect to sit here for half an hour and be blissed out of your skull. It's, for some people, it happens very quickly. For other people, it's a gradual process. It's moments by moments. You want to experience, the happiness, the bliss of meditation. It's there. But it starts with contentment in the present moment. It starts with feeling, this is good enough. Whatever is happening right now is good enough. And we look for the positive things. And that's why my two favorite topics that I always talk about, day in and day out, especially if you go to Armadale, is gratitude and contentment. You can't go wrong with gratitude and contentment. And one story I have with gratitude is actually, I'm very grateful for the Catholic priest who I heard this story from. Because, most of you probably don't know, my parents are Catholic, and they're quite, regular churchgoer. So, of course, when I visited them a few years ago, we went to church with them a few times, and heard this great discourse that he gave about gratitude. And the story goes something like this. There was this Catholic priest, and he was doing some exercise. So he's running around the block of the church early morning to get some exercise. So every day he runs around the block. And I think one day a week, he noticed there's this boy who stands in the corner, and not the best corner, not a very busy corner, but he stands in that corner and sells some bagel. Okay? But the boy is not very smart, because it's not a very busy corner, but he stands there anyway. He doesn't move to another corner. So anyway, he stands in the priest, jogs around the block. He sees this boy there. So after a while, every time he jogs around the boy, the bagel stand, he throws him two quarters. And then he doesn't stop for the bagel. He keeps on jogging, past this boy. This boy looks at him, can't understand what's happening. And then next week, the same thing happens again. He jogs by, throws two quarters to the boy, and then keeps on running. And then the boy says, okay, yeah, whatever. And then after a few years, he's done this. he throws the two quarters, and the boy finally has the courage to wave him down. It's like, stop. And then the priest just looks around and smiles. And he tells the boy, I bet you're wondering why I always, throw two quarters at you and never stop for the bagel. But the boy said, no, that's not why I stopped you. I just want to tell you that today, the price of bagel has gone up to 60 cents. And that's gratitude and contentment. We're never happy with the 50 cents, looking for the next 10 cents. Always wanting more. Nothing's ever good enough, even though you're getting a free 50 cents. And sometimes we have to look at ourselves, We lived. Yeah, we're so well provided for. It's a great place to be. But sometimes in our mind, always looking for, what can I get more out of this? What can I get more out of Ajahn Brahm? How can I get him to teach me more? What can I get more out of my husband, my wife? And gratitude just cuts all that away. So it's okay. It's not what can I do? What can I get more out of life? But what can I do to life? What can I offer to life? What can I offer to Ajahn Brahm? What can I offer to my husband or my wife or my kid? How can I enrich their lives? And that's what gratitude does. It cuts away all that. And the mind that's concerned about other people's happiness is a really bright mind. Because we're not, this mind, we're always thinking about me and mine, my worries, my pains. It has to be very, very contracted. It has to be very, very dull. And nothing's ever good enough. But once we have the courage, once we have the inspiration, just change that attitude around just a little bit. Then wow, life takes on a completely different meaning. Life becomes much more expansive. It's not about me and my wants and what's happening, what's wrong with my life. But it's like, how can I help other people? How can I be there for people? how I can give more, you know, to the people around me. How much more can I give to the Buddhist society? And obviously, you come here, monks always go and drone on about generosity, and you say, yeah, of course you guys talk about generosities. You don't do any work. We have to feed you. Yes, you can be cynical, but actually, you know, it's also an encouragement to test it out. And when you're generous, when you give things, when you do things for other people, have the mindfulness to bring that up, to know and to feel. What does that feel like when you do an act of charity spontaneously, without being asked? You see a dirty floor, you go get something, you mop it up. Quietly, nobody knows you did it. How does that feel inside? And know for yourself what generosity feels like as a physical sensation. Know what it feels like when you want something, when you're so obsessed with certain things that nothing and nobody's cares and worries is going to get in your way. Know also, how does that feel? A lot of times, you know, we're mindful and we're honest that the feeling of doing things for others, the feeling of giving things to others, is vastly superior to the acquiring, acquisition mind of wanting more, and nothing's ever good enough. So it's, you know, it's in Buddhism, it's, you know, it's nothing, you know, you have to stay here, sit here, and kind of take my words for it. But it's more of an invitation, an encouragement to really try things out, investigate, and learn through your own experience. Here I can only, you know, relate my own experience and awfully offer that, you know, and encourage people to practice. But unless you have, you know, unless you kind of investigate on your own, it was still just words, really. So only through your own experience can wisdom arise. Through your own acts of kindness can you experience the happiness. And gratitude, you know, it's one way. But another way to look at life is the good enough. Good enough is a great attitude to take. Because it also cuts away the diversity, the going out and doing more things. Good enough is a great way. It's a lazy man's enlightenment. Because you don't have to do anything. You just have to look at things from a different angle. Your practice is good enough. You're still going to sit there. You're sitting in meditation, your mind's all over the place, thinking, worrying, planning, the knees are aching. But that's okay. It's good enough. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to sign up for another 9-day course. You don't have to, you know, listen to another tape. Because it's good enough. Nothing more to do. I mean, can you imagine a world, especially what happens to all the divorce lawyers? If your spouse is good enough, your husband is good enough, you don't have to go around looking for another one. And that's a lot of suffering. You know, you put on makeup, you got to go to the gym, and do all sorts of silly things to find new partners these days. But the one you have is good enough, it's great. No more needs to be done. It goes towards peace. It goes towards letting go. And that's why you know the good enough is a spiritual quality. It's a spiritual attitude. And it brings you back to the present moment. Always what's happening here and now. Good enough. So only in the present moment that we can really be happy. Only what's happening now that we can really know life. But with most of us, we're in the past feeling guilty about what's happening or getting angry for what happened to us. Someone did something. And we get very annoyed, and we carry that around. And a lot of times, if we have the mindfulness to look and investigate, you know, I mean, it's an obvious fact, any anger, ill will, or resentment, it's a waste of time. Whatever that person said or done, it's gone. It's like spilled milk. You can't put it back in the bottle. The only thing to do is to let go, to give people the benefit of the doubt. We're not always very mindful. We say things many times, even monks, that we shouldn't have said. But yet, just a slight, you know, 3 seconds interaction, and yet you carry around, sometimes many hours, sometimes days. How dare he say that to me? I do not eat like a pig. I'm very mindful. You know. And it's like, still, it's like 2 seconds. And then we carry around the grudge. We were mindful, we would say, okay, this is a waste of time, it's done. Maybe that person, you know, maybe he wasn't talking to me. Maybe he was talking to the other monk on the other side of him. But yeah, we take things very seriously. So, you know, with investigation, with mindfulness, you see any kind of grudge, you know, holding, it's a waste of time. Because it doesn't lead to peace. It takes up all our energy. We're wasting our energy thinking about what, you know, that person said, what person's done. And it's gone. And you know, with most of us, sometimes, you know, we can carry things for years and years. We're not talking to our relatives, not talking to our mother or father or something, for some silly fight that we had 20 years ago. And we're still not speaking to them. No, I'm not speaking to you. You said something wrong. You didn't appreciate all the hard work I put in or something. Or you missed my graduation, or you didn't pick me up on time. I'm not going to have anything more to do with you. The last time you can see that clearly, that it's causing us a lot of suffering. Ill will, it's a good simile for ill will. It's like having a hot piece of coal in a bucket of it. And ill will is that trying to pick up that piece of coal and throw it at the object of your ill will, the person who did something wrong to you. Yes, first thing you notice when you try to pick that up is you burn yourself first. And that's the same thing with your mind. If you picked up that ill will, the interaction in the past, you're carrying around the negativity already. That person probably completely forgotten what he or she said to you. But here you are carrying that ill will around for hours or days or years even. And then you say, okay, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to get him anyway, or her. So you throw it at the person. But you know, a lot of times you miss. And that's the problem. Because it's so hot. You don't have very much mindfulness, you throw it. And many, many times, instead of hitting the object of your ill will that fully deserves it, you know, you hit somebody you love. Because they happen to be standing by as well. And that's also what happens with ill will. When you're angry inside, you're not going to be able to contain it. The person, the object of your ill will is not around. Guess where? Who gets it? Whoever you're with. And it's usually your family. So that's the only thing. That's, you know, as a monk, with mindfulness, we encourage you to really investigate. You know, what happens with grudges? What happens with resentment? It's right here. You burn, you know, this mind first. And then next is the family. And that person, whoever you triggered it, the trigger of the ill will, is not there anymore. He's happily doing his own things. So, a lot of time I encourage people with, you know, any kind of emotion, negative emotions, to be aware, where is it in the body? There's always a physical manifestation of your emotional state. And you're sensitive to the body, you know. Ill will is a tightness around the chest, tightness around the abdomen. And once you become skilled at this, sweeping your body, being sensitive, connecting with it, knowing what's happening on a physical level, you can learn to relax it. Relax the physical part, relax your chest. Instead of focusing on the trigger of your ill will, you focus on what's happening in the body, what's happening right now. And once you learn how to soothe it, to relax it, then, surprise, the ill will is gone. Slowly. And that way, because when you focus on the body, you don't focus on the trigger. It's focusing on the trigger, this person or the event, is that which will reinforce the negativity and build it up to something much, much bigger. And it's like you said, when it really, you know, boils down to, it's a couple minutes interaction at best. But yet, we let our days, hours and hours and weeks go by fuming about little things. But we're good enough to say, I don't care what that person said. Whatever's happening right now is good enough. I'm not worrying about in the future. And also, people really, and you know, with most of us, of course, we have family life, we have jobs and family. There's a certain amount of planning you have to do. That's obvious, okay? Yes, we granted. You're not monks and nuns, and you can't sit there and people can feed you, and you don't have nothing to worry about. Okay, yes, we granted. You do some worrying, some planning. But as good Buddhists, or even a good practitioner, you probably know, is that the future is made from the present moment. Do you want a safe, secure, happy future? This is where the work begins. This is where you have to put the mindfulness. In the here and now. If you're happy, relaxed, and peaceful in the present moment, I guarantee you, your future will be very, very similar. Even if things are unexpected, we have the peace of mind to look at things. It's a totally different perspective than looking at the event from a distracted, a worried, or anxious state of mind. So always know that. Always have confidence in your mind, in your ability to just to be with things. And that's what meditation is so great. Because in meditation, that's all we do. We're not, hopefully, you've been warned enough by Ajahn Brahm and other monks, not looking for bliss. Bliss better than you know what. No. Meditation is the encouragement just to be here in the present moment. Allow whatever happening in your mind or body just to be. You have the spaciousness of mind. You have the trust and the faith in the Buddha. Just say, okay, whatever comes, comes. I will allow you to be as long as you want. You can stay here as long as you want. I'm not going to try to get rid of you. Whatever mental state is. Mental, physical, allowing things to be. And that's what meditation is about. The art of being. We're called human beings, but not really. That's a misnomer. We're not really, we never, you know, stand still long enough to, you know, to be human beings. We're human doings. We love doing, 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 going there, going here, thinking, planning, manipulating, controlling. But we're never really just here, enjoying the wonderful peace and silence of the present moment, enjoying each other's company, sitting in this room very, very quiet. And this amazing karma we all have here on a very, very busy Friday night. We're smack in the middle of Perth. Lots of bars and clubs are happening. Lots of noise and distractions. But yet, we have the good karma to be here. Spend the next hour, hour and a half together in a quiet place, all inclining towards peace, inclining towards stillness. It's amazing karma. You see, the whole universe, you look at it a certain way, all the causes and conditions, all through history, last billion years, come together in this present moment, right here and now, for us to enjoy this together. So don't throw it away and stop planning what you're going to eat after this, what you're going to do. But just to be here, yeah, that's great. Really, for myself, I'm really happy just to be here, sharing whatever I know with other like-minded people. Just giving back. As a monk, you know, we don't work. We don't do very much. Except, once you, you know, get up the ladder, then you have an opportunity to teach and just to share what you have with other people. Hopefully encourage your people to be more peaceful, more still, and more kind. And then seeing people experiencing the happiness from their own practice. Wow, that's a great high. Seeing people who are very distracted, very depressed, and after a few years of practice, become very happy, very comfortable beings. And you can see when people's faces, how deep the practice is. It's just the glow. Meditators have that glow in their face. And it's a beautiful thing to grow, you know, to see. That's why I love teaching meditation retreats. Especially at the end, you just look. It's like, wow, glow is great. Much better than the facelift that you get. Guarantee, better than the Botox. And cheaper. But also, remember, trust and faith in the present moment. Because you don't know what's going to happen next. Like I said about Shirley Jackson, things can come very quickly. And it's not to bring up contemplation like death. It's to make people depressed or, you know, yes, 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 these Buddhist monks, they go on and on about, oh, age, sickness, and death. It's such a bore. But it's actually, you know, you see the people that do that. The monks, the meditation monks, the meditation masters in Thailand who have it as a contemplation, death or sickness. They're one of the happiest person people you can see in the world. They glow with happiness. They glow with, you know, with peace and stillness and wisdom through the penetration with the simple truths. And also, each and every one of us, you know, there's no escape. We will meet with old age, sickness, and death, either in this own body and mind or in our relatives. And if we look from an angle of peace, we look at life from an angle of kindness and letting go. And we stay in the present moment and we appreciate what we have. Then, you know, when death does come, it's no big deal. Like with Shirley Jackson, you know, it's great. I see this beautiful picture of her that one of the Anagarikas from the monastery took. This beautiful picture of Shirley Jackson. And I think they decided to put that on the coffin. She has this bright smile on her face, right in front of the Dhamma Hall, where most of you don't, not familiar with Shirley. Shirley and her daughter, Cherry, every 2 weeks, they go to the monastery and do the flower arrangement. And this picture just caught her in action. Arranging the flowers, beautiful flowers, on a certain, you know, Uposatha day, which is certain monk day, from the monastery. And you can see, doing acts of goodness, doing acts from the monastery, brings so much happiness. Shirley has this amazing smile on her face as she was arranging the flowers. And it's very fitting, because you know that Shirley, you know, a life of dedicated service to the monastery, and also, you know, to the nunnery, and to the Buddhist society. Then when she does pass away, and I know, Shirley, you're around here somewhere, and that you can hear me, that, you know, it's going to be a very happy rebirth that Shirley will take. Because of all this act of dedication, act of goodness. And so it's not a sad thing when Shirley passed away. It's actually, you know, a very inspiring thing. Because you know, when people live a very beautiful life, their death has to be beautiful. It's causes and effect. You're just happy, you're this feeling of mudita, of appreciative joy, of knowing a life well lived. You know, she wasn't concerned with amassing more stuff. Always concerned about the monks, always worrying, but we have enough. You have enough warm gear, Bhante. You have enough food, Bhante. She was very, very kind when I first came to Australia. Always worried to have everything I needed. And this is with very fond memories. You know, I remember, I know Shirley, and recall all her acts of kindness. So if anything, you know, it's a great moment. And it's also an encouragement to people to always, you know, whatever's happening in our life, we always do more kindness. We're always inclined towards more openness, more generosity. But like I said, giving material thing is one thing. But there are many, many profound levels of kind of giving. And the second level, as I touched on, is forgiveness. To forgive people, that's slightly harder. You can give things and, you know, easily. But someone does something to this precious me and mine, then no, I don't want to forgive them. Not just yet. So that's the next step. To always focus on, when we walk away from this hall, to say, okay, who in my mind, you know, who am I carrying a grudge against? What people bother me in the past? Should I bring that to mind? I said, okay, whatever happened in the past, I forgive you. So we can learn that slowly, especially after meditation. Once your mind is soft and malleable, once you have the confidence of, you know, and rested the mind, once the mind has a lot of energy, then we can bring up, you know, difficult people that we've dealt with and offer this forgiveness to them. Saying, no, tell you what happened in the past, I'm going to let that go. The next time I see you, I'm going to offer you my friendship, offer you my kindness, regardless of whatever happened. And that's forgiveness. That's the next, you know, that's the next step. Something to aspire for, something that, you know, to also, to declutter our mind. Because a lot of times this mind of ours is very, very complicated. First with the wanting mind, the sensual desire, wanting things. And then it more clutters up with things we don't like, people we don't like. So the more we learn how to let go of things, allowing our craving to fade away, the next is allowing the ill will to fade away. Of leaving the past in the past and going in the present moment with nothing in your hands. Just sitting here. Just being here. Allowing life just to unfold by itself. With no agendas. Whatever comes up has its causes. It will come and stay there as long as the causes are there. It will fade away when the causes are gone. Back to the theme of impermanent. You never know what's going to happen next. So we're happy to stay in the present moment. If we're really happy to stay here, then we don't go anywhere else. Really ground our mind in the present moment. And with meditation, it's the beginning, the middle, and the end. You cannot get away from the present moment, nor should you try to get away. You know, meditation is a process of going inwards, of staying here and allowing the mind to open up on its own. But for the mind to stay anywhere, it has to have, you know, find joy and happiness. So that's where the learning of contentment comes in. Content just to be here. Then things in the mind is a wonderful thing. Only if we can slow down and be still enough and allow the mind to open up on its own. So we're happy in the present moment. The mind becomes slow, you know, slows down. And that the peace and the content will build up. And then it will go deeper. The mind will open up on itself. Yeah, I think that's all I have to offer now. But like I say, in summary, just an encouragement for people to have the faith and have the trust just to be in the present moment. Allow whatever be come to come. Because life is very unpredictable. 1 minute we're here, and our loved ones are around us. The next minute can be, you know, all can be taken away very quickly. It is not under our control. But that's not to say it's not something to make us more depressed. Death only makes sense. You know, life only makes sense, I mean, in the face of death. Imagine if you live for a long, long time, 500 years, 1,000 years, or 10,000 years. There's never any need to make up with your family. I won't talk to him for another 500 years. Doesn't matter. I've got another 10,000 years to go. But you know that your mother, like Shirley, is going to, may pass away very quickly. What happened to Shirley is not an exception. It's not an anomaly. It's something that happens every day to different people. So when you know that, when you look at your loved ones, you look at your family, your friends, or even the people that you know, you work with, and you think to yourself, what if I don't see him tomorrow? Then should I still hang on to this grudge? It's something they said to me, 2 seconds ago. So a lot of times, an angry mind gets caught up in something very, very small and very, very petty. Who did what to whom? Who said what to whom? But if you know that your parents are going to be around, will you still harbor that grudge? No, it doesn't make sense. That's why the contemplation of death, actually anything, brings more meaning to life. Because it allows you to live life to the fullest, to appreciate each and every moment, to not let, the past kind of impinge on the present moment. And also, to not let the future fritter away the present moment by worrying too much about the future. Yes, there are things that will happen tomorrow, obviously. The sun will rise, hopefully. But, you may not be around, so why worry about it? Stay in the present moment, and everything will be all right. Guarantee. Because when you can think, when you can formulate that thought, and you have the teaching of kindness, of stillness, of letting go, in your mind, each and every present moment, then everything has to be all right. Because the present moment is okay. The next moment is also made from the present moment. So as long as you get the causes right, the result will come naturally. It's a basic fact of Buddhism. Causes and condition. So, I guess in summary, the title of the talk is Everything Will Be Alright. Okay. And like I said, I'd like to dedicate this talk to Shirley Jackson, who's been a wonderful member of the BSWA, very long, cherished member, who's done many, many kinds of, kindness and helping out the monastery and the nunnery and the center here. But also, I'd like to dedicate my big public talk to my parents, who are very Catholic, but also very, very supportive. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for bringing me up. And thank you for all your support for the last years as a monk. I really love you. Okay. Oh, yes, any questions or comments? Yes? Yeah, that's a very good question. The question is that, sometimes in the present moment, it's very uncomfortable and not a very pretty place to be, whether through physical problem or mental problem. And how can we stay in the present moment if it's unpleasant? And the first thing is to realize this, yes, the present moment, to a certain extent, is uncomfortable. So that's why the mind would like to drift away to the past or the future. Past, remembering your great experience that you had, your wonderful holiday, or you know, the first time you fell in love or something. Or you go to the future, thinking about the next holiday. Or, you know, the last time you had, you know, something really wonderful happen. So the mind does drift up because it's not, one, familiar in the present moment, and two, the present moment is unpleasant to a certain extent. But that's where this great teaching of the Buddha comes into play. Teaching of good enough, of gratitude, always looking for the positive things. So yes, you're sitting here and your knees are killing you, but that's okay, is it good enough? What do you expect having a body? When you have a body, from time to time, there will be pain. So we cut it with the wisdom, the sword of wisdom. Yes, any physical or mental problem is to be expected. This is not a heavenly realm. This is earth. So there will be a certain amount of suffering. But we said, yeah, it's good enough. I'm old, getting older, and my knee, unfortunately, does not get less painful. No, it gets more painful as years go by. But I already know that. So I say, it's good enough. I can sit here and be open to the pain, physical or mental. Sometimes inside, you know, you're a bit anxious. Sometimes a bit, you know, grumpy. But it will also open our mind to that. Yes, I'm grumpy. I'm not enlightened. Of course I feel grumpy from time to time. Winch, winch, winch. Ah, I wish this monastery could do this. I wish that monk could do something else. Or you go to a different monastery, but you know, you can't help everything. So, yes, we do go to a good winch. But we say to ourselves, we allow that kindness to our own mind, saying, yes, I can get grumpy and depressed and anxious from time to time. But that's okay. That's what happens when you are unenlightened. You're expected to have these moods. But also, hopefully, we have the teaching ingrained in us to say, yes, this is good enough. This mind is what it does. I'm not in control of my mind. No one is. So sometimes the mind is in a happy mood. Sometimes it's not in such a happy mood. But that's just the way it is. So it's good enough. But also, so by the strange things is, and then the whole irony of the whole teaching, the Buddhist teaching, you know, that once you say anything in your mind, mental, physical phenomena, is good enough, then very quickly becomes more than good enough. It becomes, wow, it becomes okay. Just and a few minutes later, okay becomes wonderful. And just a few more minutes, you know, wonderful becomes an out of this world bliss. And it gets built upon itself. One moment of happiness upon another. Only we can turn our mind in the right direction. But we go into the pain, it's like, oh no, I shouldn't have this knee pain. This is why knee pain? Science, you know, has progressed very far. I should get a total knee replacement or something. No more pain. Or maybe I should take an aspirin or something. You can see where the mind goes. More doing, more thinking, more planning, more controlling. Only because we head up in the wrong direction to begin with. But once, you know, with the sword of wisdom, we cut it up with good enough. Gratitude for whatever's happening. Yes, your mind may be all over the place during the guided meditation. But the fact that you have the great karma and the wisdom just to be here, to have a physical, you know, to bring your bum here on the seat on a Friday night, that's huge karma. Because, you know, it's much more distracted, much more confusion outside. So, you know, the amount of suffering in this room is minuscule compared to a lot more problems that could be had if you're walking around North Perth right now. It can be much worse. So when we look at it that way, yeah, you know, whatever's happened here is great. Yeah. Thank you for that question. Yeah.